This morning the preaching comes from 1 John 4, verses 7 through 12. Listen as I read God's Word. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. In this letter that John wrote, the apostle set out to give assurance to the church, assurance that we have salvation and forgiveness of sins. And in the process, we found that he has really meditated on some rich theology. He's pointed over and over again to Jesus Christ. He is the sacrifice, our advocate. He has taught us also some very practical aspects of the Christian faith. He's talked especially about the marks of genuine faith, something that I've called the tests of genuine faith, like the test of righteousness. We are like God in that when we're changed, we walk like Jesus walked. There's a test of love. We come to love as Jesus loved us. And the test of truth, we hold to the truth of the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And for good reason, John comes back once more to the subject of loving one another and the love of God. It's the type of thing that you might say, didn't you read this already? Didn't John say this already? Well, for that matter, he has called us to love one another before. This is actually the third time that John is visiting this important subject. And it must be something important if John would say it three different times and in three different ways. What's different about this time is that John turns us from talking about love as an obligation. He turns us so that we look fully on the face of God. And we see that God is love. And that subject captivates John here and motivates him to talk about how God has loved us. And because of that, how we ought to love one another. The main idea from my sermon then flows right out of that statement. God is love. Therefore, love one another. Very simple message today. God is love. Therefore, love one another. My outline then will follow John's thought. He gives four reasons for you to love one another, all springing from this idea that God is love. The first reason is that love comes from God. Love comes from God. John starts by considering the source, where it is that we find love. Love is of God, or from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. In other words, if you really want to know what love is, you need to turn your attention to God and think about who He is and what He has done. Now, John has already said earlier in chapter 2, this is how we know what love is, that Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. And he's going to go on in verse 10 to say, in this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. I'll explain that a little bit more later, but I want you to see how love comes from God. So as Christians, John calls you to love one another because that's what God gives us. Love comes from God. Since He has, in fact, caused you to be born again, since you are united to God in Jesus Christ, you will, in fact, love God. Your life will become more and more like God, doing the things of God. Since love is from God, John says, we ought to love one another. The second reason that he gives is that God is love. The second reason we ought to love one another is that God is love. And in this case, John is going to focus especially on the Father, and he's going to go on to focus on the Son and the Holy Spirit, which are going to be the next points in the sermon. But first of all, God the Father is love. There are a handful of places in the Bible where you have the simple, profound truth that is put out in this way, that God is something. If you turn back to the Gospel of John, you'll find Jesus telling his disciples that God is spirit. Earlier in this letter, John said, God is light. And we meditated on that. Here, John says, God is love. And in so saying, John is communicating something about the essential character of God. He is love. Just to give an illustration of that type of language, today we might describe someone who is really identified with something as like this. We might say, he is OSU. He bleeds orange. I mean, he is so much a fan of the Oklahoma State Cowboys that he is OSU. He bleeds orange. In this case, John equates God and love. And that's the structure of the grammar here. Whenever you see is in the center of a sentence like this, we say that the first is equal to the second. This is very important. You might remember in John chapter 1 where we say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There's an equation of the beginning and the end. The Word, or Jesus, is God. In this case, John says, God is love. They are identical. God is love. It's something that you ought to take with you into every area of Scripture, every area of your experience of the Christian life, to think about God's being love. By that I have in mind taking it with you as you read in your personal devotions or in your family devotions, as you read broadly in Scripture, and I have especially in mind the Old Testament, which is often characterized as, well, God in the Old Testament is a God of wrath. Take this statement back into the Old Testament with you. God is love. And you'll find that in the creation, that an almighty God who speaks and creates is exercising His love as He does so. That God who creates all of this world and sets man at the center of that is exercising his love towards mankind. That he exercises that love and demonstrates it by stooping down in a covenant of works, calling mankind into a relationship with himself. You could even say that God's love is demonstrated as he pronounces judgment on Adam and Eve. It's demonstrated as the judgment is voiced, he promises a Redeemer, Jesus Christ. From the very beginning, God's love is demonstrated, and it continues. Read the historical narratives of the Old Testament. Read the Psalms. Read the Proverbs, the wisdom literature, thinking about God is love. And you'll find that they lead you by the hand to Jesus Christ. They lead you to that most excellent expression of God's love, which is the cross. I'll come to that more in just a moment when we think of Jesus expressing God's love. But before we do so, I want you to note that John identifies each of the three persons of the Trinity in this very brief passage. And the love of God is ascribed to each person of the Trinity. In these first verses that we're talking about, the Father is in view, verses 7 and 8. Verses 9 through 11 are going to link the love of Christ, the Son of God, link love to him. And then finally, John refers in verse 12 to the abiding of God in us, which he has said just previously is through the Holy Spirit. And in each case, John exhorts you to love one another. In other words, as one commentator says, we could say it this way. God is love. The Father is love. The Son is love. The Spirit is love. If we know the God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we will love. We will love. In fact, that statement is so important that John states it in the opposite as well, to say, if you do not love, you do not know God. If you do not love, you do not know God. Gives you a sense of how important this concept is of God being love. That equation of God and love is so important that the negative proves that we are divorced from God, that we are outside of Him. Since God is love, then, John says, beloved, let us love one another. As you have been born again to a living hope and brought into the knowledge of God, you will be more and more like God, who is love. Let's go on to the third reason that John gives for loving one another. The third reason is that God the Son is love. God the Son is love. I said earlier that this is talking about an essential characteristic of God, and I gave the illustration of a fan of OSU. He is OSU. He bleeds orange. Of God, you might say, He is love. He bleeds love. Think of the love of God in those terms, that He bleeds love. There's an essential characteristic that our blood is descriptive of. It is our life. When we say He bleeds orange, we're talking about an essential characteristic of we say God bleeds love, we're talking about Jesus' action on the cross. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only Son, His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. You catch what John says there. You live because God loves you. You live because Christ died. And you love because He has loved you. John has already, in a sense, unveiled the source of love. He's shown it as coming from God who is love. Now he takes another step, and as he meditates on the face of God, he thinks about how Jesus Christ shows that love of God. And it's shown, first of all, in the Father and the Son. The Father loves His only begotten Son, but He also loves the church and gave Jesus as a sacrifice for our sins. John has already said that if you know the Father, if you know the nature of God, then you will love one another. Now he says, if you know the Son, if you know what Jesus did for you, then you will love one another. So let's think about what Jesus has done. Let's think about the fact that Jesus laid down His life for you. The sobering fact is that you did not love God at this point. Before you were a Christian, the Bible describes you as being an alien, an enemy of God, a hater of Him. And yet God loved you in Christ. You know what? You and I don't normally operate this way. If you're like me, I love the things that love me back. Maybe that's why I like dogs better than cats. A dog loves you back very clearly, doesn't it? We normally love those things that love us back. And if something doesn't return love to us, we could kind of care less about that thing, or speaking very honestly, about that person. If someone doesn't love us back, it is not natural for us to love that person. But not God. God has loved you before you loved Him. God has loved you even before you were lovable. And the Scriptures confirm this over and over again. Think of that great verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Think of that verse in the context of that great truth: God is love. And here in that verse, maybe for the first time, the love of God that is expressed in the cross of Jesus Christ. Or hear it again with fresh ears. Hear it again and let it revive your faith that God has loved you in Jesus Christ. In our call to worship this morning, Paul says, God shows His love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I also like how Paul says it in Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. The Scriptures consistently teach us that God sent Jesus because of His love. And it consistently teaches us that out of His love that God sent Jesus to die. And it consistently teaches that God sent Jesus to die for sinners. For sinners. That's what propitiation means. That's right here where John says that God sent the Son to be propitiation. And I explained that very carefully in my sermon on 1 John 2:2, and so I won't elaborate here, but just to give you a grip on that again, propitiation means the sacrifice that satisfies God's justice. Think about it just for a minute. God is holy. And because of that, His justice must be satisfied. Otherwise, He ceases to be God. So the penalty must be paid. But God is love. So think of that justice in the context of that great truth. God is love. And you'll find that He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for sinners. And as you believe in Jesus Christ, you can say that personally. Out of love for you, God sent His Son to die on the cross for a sinner, you, me. God is love. Jesus is love. Beloved, let us love one another because of this gift that God has given to us. The fourth reason that John gives that we ought to love one another is that God the Spirit is love. If you sense the theme, we have the source of love is the first reason, that love is from God. Then the Father is love, the Son is love, the Spirit is love. John 12 links the love of God to the person of the Holy Spirit who abides in us or dwells in us. John says, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. Now that statement might seem just a little out of place if you don't read it in the context of the love of God, which is demonstrated to us. It might seem that John jumps in here with a theological point that no one has ever seen God. And we could say, okay, I know that throughout all of Scripture, but why is that here? Well, it makes the million-dollar point. If God is holy, which we know that He is, then how can sinful mankind come into His presence? How can this holy God abide, let alone look upon, a sinner such as I am? It's because God is love. It's because He has satisfied His justice in Jesus Christ. It's because He has promised and actually does come and dwell in the heart of every believer in the person of the Holy Spirit. See, John's clear statement is that God brings us into His presence by His love. in my devotions this week, I came across a man who was talking about the love of God, and he says that he wants you to marinate in it. Isn't that a great term? I hope that this sermon you reflect back and think of just marinating in God's love. For the children, your moms marinate meat by taking that meat and putting it down into a spicy barbecue sauce and letting it sit in that barbecue sauce all night long and soak up all of that flavor so that when she cooks it and you eat it, it's just so good. I want you to marinate in the love of God. Because God abides in you. We talk about a meat being transfused with all of that yummy goodness. Think of the Holy Spirit dwelling in you and that love of God just permeating every aspect of who you are. Since God is love and God abides in you, it must be the case then that love comes from us then towards one another. In earlier messages about loving one another, I called this a miracle. We don't naturally love one another. We're selfish. We don't naturally love the things that don't love us. But since God dwells in us, in the person of the Holy Spirit, then, beloved, let us love one another. We ought to love one another because God is love. And John does something very dramatic here. Not only does he meditate on the face of God, but as I have been doing all the way through, he turns the tables in a sense and says, now having gazed upon the face of God, I want you to turn and show that love to one another. I want you to look at the faces of those around you. And as you do so, you will see God. Now, John has just said, no one has ever seen God. But the love of God, which abides in us and is shown to one another, is to show God to one another and to the world. That is an awesome aspect of this doctrine. That God Himself is shown by the love that we have for one another. F.F. Bruce puts it this way, the love of God displayed in His people is the strongest apologetic that God has in the world. When His love is planted in their hearts and He Himself thus dwells within them, His love is perfected in the complementary response which it finds in them towards Him and towards their fellows. In this way, they are not only holy and merciful as He is holy and merciful, but also perfect, as our Heavenly Father is perfect. And all through the perfection of the love that is given to us by God Himself. That's what John says here, that this love is perfected in us. It's a word that means complete. And there's a purpose in there. That God is love, And there's God does not need anything, but by His good and great holy will, He has designed you and I to respond to Him in love. And there's a sense of completion that happens when He loves you, and you in response love Him and love one another. There's a perfection, a completion of the cycle that takes place as you receive that love of God, as you marinate in it, and then you share that with those that are around you. That's why I say John, in a sense, turns the tables in a dramatic way. As you think about the nature of God that dwells in you, you don't stop by just gazing on the face of God, because His love propels you into this type of love towards one another. Love is from God. God the Father is love. He does all that He does, and all that He is can be seen through that lens of love. God the Son is love. Out of love, Jesus came as the atoning sacrifice that makes God look on you with favor. God the Spirit is love. God Himself is at work in you to bring you, to bring His love to completion. In closing, let me comment that in God's providence, this message comes on a day in which we celebrate the Lord's Supper. As we come to this time, I want to encourage you to approach it gazing at the face of God, who is love. It's a sacrifice that is made in Jesus Christ that we often focus on. And we think about repentance and the price that has been paid. And I want you to lift up above that and to see this sacrament as an expression of God's love. God is love. And He has given His own Son to die on the cross for your sins. That sacrifice is represented to us in the bread and the cup, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, which are an expression of love. And then, having gazed on the face of God, I want you to gaze on the face of your brothers and sisters around you, and to hear John's words again. Beloved, if God has so loved us, we ought to love one another. We ought to love one another. God is love in all three persons, and He has loved you in Jesus Christ. Let's bow before Him in prayer. Lord, it is not in our own strength that we love, but it is because You have loved us first. We thank You, Lord, for that great love that You have, revealed in the cross of Jesus Christ. We thank You for the love that is continually with us in Your abiding Spirit. We thank You for the opportunity for that love to find perfection and completion as we love You back and love one another. Lord God, we pray that we would be more and more full of that servant attitude that Jesus demonstrated to us. We pray that we would look on one another with goodwill. We would not think ill of our brothers and sisters or judge their motives. We pray that we would bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, endure all things, because of the love that You have had for us and the love that we bear for one another. Lord, these words of John have led us to to meditate on who you are. We pray that in the days that follow, that we would build on that and find those practical areas where we may express that love to one another. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 59, selection B, closes with one of those sweet phrases in the Psalms. You look at the very end of the psalm on the right-hand side of the page. After saying, I've waited for you, I've endured hardship out of faith, it closes in praise. To you I sing my praises, O my strength, for He is God, my fort, my God of love. Let's sing praise to the Lord, singing Psalm 59b. Please stand to sing.